Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 16, entitled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Ayam Mahim Gam Duduhe Adi Raja Prajapatir Vrittikara Prajanam. Yo Leela Yadrin Swasharasa Kotya Bindan Samam Kam Akarod Yathendra. Ayam Mahim Kam Duduhe Adi Raja Prajapatir Vrittikara Prajanam. Yo Leela Yadrin Swasharasa Kotya Bindan Samam Kam Akarod Yathendra. Ayam Mahim Kam Duduhe Adi Raja Prajapatir Vrittikara Prajanam. Yo Leela Yadrin Swasharasa Kotya Bindan Samam Kam Akarod Yathendra. What would mean? I am this king. Mahim, the earth. Gam, in the form of a cow. Duduhe, will milk. Adi Rajaha, extraordinary king. Prajapatihi, progenitor of mankind. Vrittikaraha, providing living facility. Prajanam, of the citizens. Yaha, one who. Leelaya, simply by pastimes. Adrin, mountains and hills. Swasharasa, of his bow. Kotya, by the pointed end. Bindan, breaking. Samam, level. Gam, the earth. Akarot, will make. Yata, as. Indraha, the king of heaven, Indra. Translation by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This king, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. There's no purport for this verse. Read the next verse. Please hear. Vishpujayan avagavam danusvayam yadacharakshamam avishayam ajau. Tataniliyur dishi dishi ashanto langalulam utyamaya yata mrigendraham. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls, and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. Purport. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are called as Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues, thieves and other demoniac people in a state are afraid of the executive head who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus, it is most regrettable when a woman becomes an executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. Magnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa tadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathambitam tam sanjivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Kute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वांछा गल्पथरूप्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः एव च अतीतानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो द प्रेसिंग ऑफ Maharaj Prithu by professional reciters is going on. Text 22, they are predicting the activities of Maharaj Prithu. So he is going to milk the mother earth, just like a person milks a cow. And Maharaj Prithu will get the natural resources from mother earth, which she will withheld. So these things are going to happen. So he is going to provide the facilities to all the citizens. So he is considered the Adi Raja. Yesterday's verse talked about how a king has to personally distribute the wealth to all of his citizens. So when Maharaj Prithu started his kingdom, he started to rule. Mother Earth did not give her resources to everybody. The reason she gives is that people do not value the resources and they are not using it for spiritual purposes. So then why I should give such resources to people who don't value it and who don't use it for spiritual purposes? So I'm withholding it. But then later on, we'll see how Maharaj Prithu convinces Mother Earth and starts to milk Mother Earth like a cow and extract the resources. So this is described in a poetic way, that every activity is given a comparison, milking like a cow and then leveling the earth, just like Indra breaks down the mountains. But then the poetic way of expression continues. Just like a lion, when this travels in a forest with its tail upward, all the other animals will flee. Similarly, a king has to exert his power and influence so that the rogues and thieves don't get in the way of the citizens and they don't interfere and they don't give too much of trouble to the citizens. So he has to have a strong hold and he has to exercise power and he has to show that he is capable of keeping them under control. And this is also brought out in a nice simile as to a lion chasing away the other animals. So when I was reading these descriptions, few things came to my mind. The lion driving away the other animals, and also the way Maharaj Prithu uses his bow and arrow to level the earth. During Prabhupada's presence in this earth, in Allahabad, when the Artha Kumbh Mela was going on, he takes all his disciples and he participates in the Kumbh Mela. So the main objective of Srila Prabhupada to participate in Kumbh Mela was to distribute the holy name to everyone present there. So for that, he is training his disciples. So in the Bhagavatam lectures that he gave on the Kumbh Mela venue, he was stressing on the chanting of the holy name and how that is powerful, and how devotees are going out and giving the holy name, but you yourself also have to chant the holy name properly. Then Prabhupada recollects his own school days, and then he quotes his teacher. Prabhupada is saying, when a student is aiming for distinction and he studies and he appears for the exam, he will at least end up getting first class. When he is aiming at getting first class and he studies and he appears for the exam, he will at least get second class. But if you are aiming only for a second class, or if you are just aiming only to pass the exam, you may not pass, you will fail. So he was stressing the point about chanting with quality, and we should aim for the topmost quality. At that point, Srila Prabhupada makes this interesting quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He quotes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur where the chanting of holy name is like a lion. When you chant the holy name purely, which is like the roaring of a lion, all your sinful activities which are compared to animals will flee away. So in that Pandal program, Prabhupada was emphasizing the point about chanting purely, chanting attentively. So when I was thinking in that line, another interesting analogy from Sachinanda Maharaj, where he uses the Bhagavatam verses which also describe how the living entity can use the holy name as a bow and an arrow to reach a destination which is the Lord's feet. So from that verse of Bhagavatam, Sachinanda Maharaj has put together an acronym which is ARROW, A-R-R-O-W, and he starts to give valuable guidance on how to chant the holy name. I thought we will discuss from that. So the Bhagavatam verse which talks about the bow and arrow analogy is asking the living entity to aim at the feet of the Lord using the holy name. Aksham dasha pranam adharma dharmo chakre vimanam ratinam sa jivam danu hitasya pranamam patanti charantu jivam param eva lakshyam. So the jiva has to aim for the param, param eva lakshyam. So if you want to reach a distant place, you need a vehicle, or you need a mechanism to go there. And here the Lord's feet which is in the spiritual world, and we are sitting in the material world. So what can get us there is the holy name, which is non-different from the Lord. So the living entity has to use his own body, then chant the name, and then attain the feet, which is considered feet of the Lord, which is considered as the destination. So for so that's why we pull the string bit backward, and then we aim at the destination, and then we hit the target. So the arrow analogy starts off by telling how we can chant the name purely so that we can reach the destination of the Lord's feet. The acronym begins with A, so arrow, the first word stands for alignment. So before you start chanting, one may even ask, why do I have to do so many steps? Why do I have to prepare myself? When I was thinking about this, I was able to relate it to how when we travel, we need a vehicle. But for the vehicle, we do so many maintenance activities. We put petrol in it, we put engine oil, we check the pressure of the tires, and then we need to have a proper license. The vehicle has to be registered, then you have insurance for it, then you need, if you're traveling through toll roads, you need. So there are so many things you're taking care for a vehicle for you to travel from one place to another. Similarly, for us to chant, we need to make some preparatory steps. And this acronym which Sachinan Maharaj gives, I found it very valuable. So the first A stands for alignment. So you tune your body, mind and heart, body, mind and heart, for full presence and attention. That's why you avoid offenses. So when it comes to tuning the body, this may sound very basic, but what sounds like common sense may not always become a common practice. So tuning the body means sitting in a posture where you don't feel very uncomfortable. You maintain a proper posture where you are able to align your body. So a straight posture is good. At the same time, if you're making yourself too comfortable, you may end up dozing off. So that way you make sure that your posture is perfect. Then you make sure that you are pronouncing the words properly and you are hearing. Again, this may sound very basic. When speeding up, we may forget to chant a Krishna or a Rama, and then we may move on to the next mantra. So we should at least be able to pick it up when we are hearing it. So when we don't pick up, which means we are not hearing. So the mantra is not very complex. So you just have to pronounce properly and then hear it. So we must be able to pick up if I'm missing a word or not. I'm uttering the mantra, I'm vibrating, and I have to validate if I'm hearing the same mantra. Vibrate, validate. So if the validation is not there, then you may be missing a Krishna or a Rama, and then you may be chanting. So again, this is very basic. Next is the pace with which you chant. So 7.5 minutes to 8 minutes is some devotees may 6.5 to 7. So if you are chanting for more than 10 minutes, which means you might have dozed off in between. Or if you have chanted and finished the round in 4 minutes, either you must have skipped a lot of beads or something else is happening. So you must be conscious and aware of what you are doing. So that comes under aligning your body. So again, very simple. You just have to be aware of it and monitor it. Next is aligning your mind for mental focus, the Bhagavad Gita verses. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Yato yato nischalati. So whenever the mind drifts away to some other thought, you bring it back. So within the eye of your mind, you can visualize the Hare Krishna mantra. So whenever thoughts go somewhere else, you can bring it back to the visualization of the mantra within your mental eye. Taking darshan of the deities helps us also to focus our mind. So by internally visualizing the mantra and also by taking darshan of the deities, going through every details, our mind will become absorbed, and that will help us in at the time of chanting. Next is aligning your heart. So we have aligned our body, we have aligned our mind. If the heart is not into chanting, then it would just become a mechanical process. For that, another Bhagavatam verse helps us how to tune our heart. So it gives three examples, again in a poetic way, like Bhagavatam is usually done, it's in a poetic way. So our heart should earn for the holy name and for the Lord, just like the birds which are too young and they are in the nest. They are looking forward for their mother to come and feed them. They are so helpless and desperate, and they can't do much. They can't jump off, or they are so helpless and desperate, and they are looking forward for the mother. That's the first example to tune our heart. The second example is that of a calf, which is looking forward for its mother cow to drink the milk. So sometimes you may see that the calf will pull off the rope and then run towards the mother forcibly and drink the milk. So we must be as eager as a calf running towards the mother cow. That's the second analogy. Then the third one is the mindset of a wife whose husband is not with her. He has traveled and he is in a far off place. Even when she is doing her day to day activities, her mind will be absorbed in thoughts of him. Just like a wife whose husband is far away hankers for his association, we must tune our heart, whichever analogy fits in. We must tune our heart in such a way that we are earning for the holy name. But one may say that my mind is not so pure, I can't have such kind of a earning, because my mind is looking forward or always after material things. What do I do then? I don't have such feelings of a calf or of a bird or of a woman who is separated from her husband. I don't have such feelings. What do I do? Then we take shelter of the holy name again and the Lord to give us that taste by which we can get such feelings of earning. So the holy name is addressed by Rupa Goswami. He addresses the holy name as the subduer of Aga demon. He addresses the holy name as the son of Yashoda, as the son of Nanda Maharaj, as Damodar, as the Lord of Vrindavan. And he prays, O Krishna, O holy name, let my attachment to you increase more and more. So if we don't have the attachment, start praying for it. So this way you have aligned your body, you have aligned your mind, you have aligned your heart. So the next step is establishing our relationship. Here is where I will need help from devotees who do deity worship. Before you do the deity worship, you purify your external and then you purify your internals. Would somebody like to share what you recite, the mantras or the meaning, how you consider, what's your relationship with you and the Lord? So you chant some mantras for it. Would somebody like to share what they do when they're doing deity worship before they start? How do you position yourself and your connection with the Lord? Would somebody like to share? What is your position and how do you situate yourself?
Like a beggar.
Like a
beggar.
Beggar, okay. So here more specifically you consider yourself as a servant and the Lord as a master. You take away all your material designations. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra. So you're not any of those material designations. You establish your connection. I am an infinitesimal spiritual spark and you are my only Lord and Master. And I have been caught up in this material world where there are so many miseries. Three things are clear. You are a spiritual being and you don't fit in this material world and your only shelter is the Lord, and you are positioning yourself in a way that you are not any of those material designations. Just like I see a few devotees with in their formal clothing. So when they come back from the office, so they don't roam around with their formals. So what do? They change. They put their formal dress aside and they start doing their home activities. Just like that, before chanting, we take those designations and put it aside and then we start to stand. So you establish that relationship. You become aware of it. Eternally you are, but at least while chanting you start to become aware of it. And when you are chanting, you infuse your chanting with that connection, that I am a servant of the Lord and Radha and Krishna are my only master and maintainer. So you enter into that sambandha, that relationship. So that will help us to strengthen our connection with the Lord even after we have finished our chanting. So you establish the relationship. So that's the first R in the arrow. So this, the second R stands for rendering service. So we are looking at the arrow analogy. We saw A for alignment. Second R is for relationship, and the third is rendering service. Offer your chanting in the spirit of loving service. And second aspect is share the glories of holy name with others. Personally, my chanting is not so great. I'm just trying to share as a service. So one of the points to share the glory of the holy name, which is what I'm trying to do, I have a long way to go as far as purity in chanting is concerned. Now that we have established a relationship with the Lord, we are starting to render service. When I read this point about rendering service, I was able to relate back to the services that we do. If we consider cooking for the Lord as a service, how effectively we do that. So we get the best ingredients and then we cook them at the right temperature and add the spices. At that time we don't give an excuse saying my mind wandered, so I let the sabji burn and then I offered the same burnt sabji to the Lord. Well, my mind wondered what to do. No, we don't give such excuses. And I see Matajis are making garlands. So, if they see a flower which is not good, they discard it and then they use the proper ones. So, at that time, they are not doing like looking somewhere else and then doing the service. They don't know like what flower is in the... It's exactly precise. So, they measure and then they make sure the design is proper. So, if we put that seriousness, I have to offer this. At the end of my round, I have to offer this to the Lord. How much quality will I be building into it? Okay, half of the cooking, when you're absorbed in cutting some vegetables, one of the dish is starting to burn, you see the smell, what do? You just let it burn? No, you just go and correct it. Similarly, halfway through our chanting, if we see that, okay, it's way gone off track, so then, if I have to offer this to the Lord, at least let me start correcting from now onwards. So, if we have to offer this to the Lord, how effectively will we be doing? Offer your chanting in a spirit of loving service. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, do it as an offering to me. That's what the Lord says. Yat karoshi, adashnashi, yat juhoshi, tadasi yat, yat tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kuruswa, madarpana. So if we have to figuratively think that 108 mantras are going to get offered to the Lord, how much are of good quality, how much are of not good quality. Then the second aspect of rendering service is to share the glories of the holy name. So, to the extent possible, we can share to the eligibility of the recipient. We can share the glories of the holy name, induce them to chant. So, in this way, you have aligned yourself. You have established your relationship and you are starting to consider chanting itself as a service. So we have covered ARR. The O stands for opening the heart. Here Maharaj starts to refer the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where Mahaprabhu does not always think that he is with Krishna, but is always hankering for the association of Krishna. Opening the heart, how can we do that? Maharaj explains, we can read the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and also of the Goswamis, how they hanker for the presence of the Lord. That's how you start to open your heart to receive the holy name. So you never see Mahaprabhu saying, I am with Krishna, or the Goswami saying, I am with Krishna. They are saying, where is Krishna? Where is Srimati Radharani? Hey Radhe, hey Vrajago, Pike Chalalite. So they are in that mood of separation. So Maharaj urges us to open the heart. Let us read Mahaprabhu's teachings and Goswami's teachings and Srila Prabhupada's teachings and imbibe that mood. Cultivate the kirtan bhav of separation and longing experienced by Gaurachandra. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feelings. So, here the Sikshashtakam verse comes to our help, where Mahaprabhu prays, I am your eternal servant, somehow or other I have fallen into this material world. I nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam ma vishame bhavam budav kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. So alone I am helpless, kindly invest. So I am being tossed by material desires. So please my Lord, please kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. By the dust of your feet, please help me, and I am so helpless, so you please pick me up. So by this mood of hankering, Maharaj says it will help us to open our heart. Again, when we don't have such eagerness and aspirations, it is good to pray to the Lord to give that. So you open up your heart. When I was contemplating on the opening the heart point, one aspect came to my mind is if we start appreciating what the Lord has given us, even small things, and most importantly, when you start to write them down, and with a feeling of gratitude to the Lord, despite my shortcomings, you have given me this. It could be ability to do some service, or the facilities that are given, even the fact that we are able to come to the temple, take the darshan, take prasadam, or even the service of doing deity worship. Any of those activities, anything specific on that particular day, you can start noting them down and keep a journal of what the Lord has done for you. It could be daily, it could be weekly. And before chanting, if you are able to look at that or bring it in our memory and say, look, this is how the Lord is being merciful to me. But what am I doing? I am chanting inattentively the name of the same Lord who has been given, who is giving me such great facilities like this. So it's a kind of a guilt, but then it will start to help us open our heart. So such a nice person, he has given me so much of facilities, and but what am I doing? I am chanting his name inattentively. So this I felt will help open up the heart and then shake off the mentality of offensive chanting. When we start to feel the presence of the Lord, his hands everywhere, then we can see him. One who sees the Lord's hand everywhere can see the Lord also. And then the last word in the acronym is W, which is welcoming the divine gift. This requires a change in the lifestyle where we start to live in the mood of surrender. So the aspects of surrender are described. How you accept what is favorable, you discard what is unfavorable. Kulyasya sankalpam prati kulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti viswaso. So the Lord will protect. Lord is my only maintainer and protector, and I will develop a humble attitude. So Maharaj explains, if we can't live our entire life in the mood of surrender, at least while you are chanting, enter into the mood of surrender. At least that 2 hours. Ideally is to have the entire life molded in the form of surrender, but at least while you are chanting, enter into the mood of surrender. Live in a saranagati. And the second aspect is get into a mood of a receiver rather than an achiever. We can't achieve Krishna, we can't achieve Him by our own strength. It's only when He reveals and He bestows His mercy, then we can receive. So while chanting, we have to welcome the gift, we have to be in a receiver mood. And the third aspect of welcoming is to be patient. So you live your life in surrender, you be in a receiver mood. And because you have done all this, you can't demand the Lord, okay, I want your mercy right now. So you be patient. Whenever the Lord bestows, He will. So Maharaj goes on to explain the surrender of Mother Draupadi, how she was calling out to the Lord in a helpless way, and the Lord immediately came and protected. So we must be able to get into that mood of complete dependence on the Lord. So by being, by molding your life and living in a surrendered way, by entering into a receiver's mood and also being patient, you welcome the gift of Holy Name. Maharaj concludes by restating what Mahaprabhu talks about quality of chanting. He states, quotes Mahaprabhu's Sikshashtakam, verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanena Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant in a humble state of mind. Chant with a feeling of longing, with the calling out of a person wanting to be saved from the drowning ocean. So we are able to practice this by aligning ourselves, heart, body and mind, by establishing our relationship with the Lord. I am the servant and you are the master. Then by considering chanting as a service to the Lord, we are going to offer something to the Lord. So let me be more careful, let me do it with love, and not just physically, open the heart as well, and share the glories of the Holy Name with others. And finally, you welcome the gift of the Holy Name. So by doing all this, we purify ourselves, and the arrow will actually reach the destination, which is the feet of the Lord. That feet of the Lord has various auspicious marks which will help us to overcome our anarthas. It's interesting to note that Mother Earth, who we are discussing about, when she was seeing that the Lord has left the planet, she is making a point as to how when the Lord used to be in the with us in this world, he used to leave his footprints, and I was so fortunate to have such footprints imprinted on me. And then she calls out, Kava Saheta Viraham Purushottamasya. So that Purushottama has to leave his footmarks on my body. Because I got excited about, that's how the grass and other things come out. Just as a person who's excited, his hairs stand on end. Mother Earth was saying that because I was so excited by the Lord, Purushottamasya Leela, forgot the words. Kava Saheta Viraham Purushottamasya Prema Valoka Ruchira Smita Valku Jalpai. That Lord used to captivate the mind of the queens with his sidelong glances. When he used to step on me, I was so excited that the hairs on my end started to stand, and that's looked like the grasses. So Mother Earth, I used to fill the whole my surface with grass, but now the Lord is no longer there. So it is this same day that the Lord, who used to be a Vatsa Palak, one who used to take care of the calves, today is the day when Nanda Maharaj gave him the permission to take care of the cows. So from Vatsa Pal he becomes Gopal, so one who takes care of the cows. So again, this is dealing with Mother Earth being a cow, and then calf, and then today is the day when Krishna takes up the role of herding, from herding the calves to herding cows. It's very hard to imagine how 6-year-old boy can take care of house. In our society, if we ask children to do such activities, the society may tell that we are too harsh on them, or we don't know how to take care of the children. We may be even, the law may even act against us. The child protection officer might come and chastise us. So why you are putting the children into so much of distress? But during the time of Maharaj Nanda and Mother Yashoda, it was very normal to give responsibilities to children according to their capacity. Another point of view is, we are in Kali Yuga, we have our limited bodily strength and we have our limited lifespan, and our growth in Kali Yuga is not as good as it used to be in previous Yuga. So we think children means, okay, of this particular size, but then it need not be. Interestingly, on Gopashtami day, not on the day when they went out for the first time, later on, Krishna and Balaram, they enacted the pastime of killing Dhenukasura, who is the ass demon, on this Gopashtami day. So Balaram was so powerful that he can shake the tree and get the fruit. If a person is so strong, then he can take care of the cows and the calves as well. So this particular pastime describes as to how the cowherd boys were feeling that, okay, we would like to eat something, and they were saying that they were hungry, but they internally they want Krishna and Balaram to have something. So Krishna and Balaram were resting on the gopas' laps and they were getting massaged, and then slowly gopas bring out this point like, you want to eat something? And there's a forest there, and there are a lot of fruits, but we are not able to access the forest because of the ass demon, Dhenukasura. So Dhenukasura represents the mentality of having too much of material intelligence and lack of spiritual knowledge, lack of spiritual intelligence. So that's why when Balaram went inside and challenged, the ass demon came and kicked him. It was Balaram who killed the demon. So it is a spiritual master who destroys our ignorance of spiritual knowledge and our pride of material achievements, and who gives the spiritual knowledge to us. So on this Gopashtami day, it is good to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord and also His sweetness, as is described. How does the Lord look like when He is in His when He reaches the age of 6? So the you can classify them as from age 1 to 5 as Kaumara, then Pauganda starts from 6 to 11, and then Kaishora, followed by Yavana. So the description of the Lord is so given that as He reaches the age of 5 and 6, His lips are starting to become more reddish and His waist is thin. And when He, we can also see that the hair has grown a bit. And then later on when He starts to mature, then they are seeing that the facial, the chubbiness of the cheek is more prominent as He grows. And later on the hair has grown so much that it is reaching up to His back. And they are able to see the lines in His neck like a conch shell, and also the lines in His waist. So the Nectar of Devotion actually gives a good description of the appearance of the Lord as He matures. So, and every time we read those descriptions, linking back to the point of chanting, we can visualize the form of the Lord and the sweetness which He displays in those pastimes. So today being Gopashtami, we can meditate on the Lord's pastimes Balaram's killing of the demon and also his beauty. So thereby we can help. Thereby we can help ourselves to open our heart and to chant his name purely, which will act as a lion and which will make the sins flee away from our heart. So I'll stop there and see if there are any questions or comments.
Talk very nicely about aligning our body for chanting.
Yeah.
And particularly in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, although it's written in English alphabets A to Z, Prabhupada has extended those alphabets by diacritic marks. There's a difference between A and A with a bar, like O and A. The English pronunciation of is almost always wrong. Like we say Hare, Krishna, and Rama, they are all wrong pronunciations, English pronunciations. The correct pronunciations are short O for Hare, short O for Krishna, and short Mo for Rama. And just like a untuned car that smoke, we see many devotees are chanting in a smoking state. So we have to have some kind of police department to find him that chanting and put them in an alignment position, and that's probably a function of management or something, or open a workshop or fine-tuning of the chanting. Because if we find people at the most mirage, no, too much.
Wait, is that a question or a comment?
It's a thought pattern. The comment is we should have some kind of department to find in the chanting.
Well, that's not within my... I don't have that adhikar to police others. So at least I will correct myself. I'll start there. Anything else? Thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.